Good morning and welcome back to the Daily Pulse Morning Show. Right now, 7:37, 9 degrees. Travis here. Hope you're having a great morning so far. Right now, I've got a special guest in studio, someone I've actually grew up with in school. Now it's interesting because the tables have turned. I get to interview you as a guest on my show. Got Natalie Higgins joining us this morning. Good morning, Natalie. How are you?
Good morning, Travis. I'm doing good. Trying to slowly dig out of the snow.
That's right. And thankfully, it looks like today we're only going to get a dusting, but you are here. You are the executive director for Phenom, a great local organization. Can you tell us what Phenom stands for?
Sure. So Phenom is the Public Higher Education Network of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's a statewide organization that unites kind of all of the key stakeholders in public higher ed to do advocacy work. So students, alumni, faculty, staff, administrators, parents, general community members who care about public higher ed in Massachusetts to advocate for more accessible and more affordable public higher ed across the state.
Excellent. And Phenom has been around for how many years now?
It's been around. It formed in late 2007, early 2008. So 7 years now.
Excellent. So it started out as a small organization. Now, how many colleges are you involved with right now throughout the state?
So we work with all 29. There's 29 public higher ed institutions in Massachusetts, but we have closer relationships with some more than others. We're in the middle of rolling out a new grant that we have to work with 9 campuses across the state. So we're really excited about that.
Excellent. So talking about Phenom and the need for, I think, more accessible public education, I think this is something that a lot of families out there, a lot of listeners, and even a lot of people that are maybe thinking about going back to school to study something else. Education, they tell you that you need a degree to do basically anything nowadays, but at the same time, you feel like you have to almost drive yourself into such debt to just get ahead. It's like, well, you need this degree, but you have to be so much money in the hole before you even get started in your new career. So what is Phenom exactly? How do they feel about that?
So, I mean, we think the student debt crisis is terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's at a breaking point. It's just with the average student graduating from undergrad with more than $30,000 in debt, that's terrifying. How do you pay that back? That also really hurts our economy as we're heading out of the Great Recession. What does that mean when you're making these hundreds of dollar payments to student loans and paying 7, 8, 9% interest back to the federal government, never mind private loans?
When you look at that, you know, that's less cars being bought, that's less houses being bought, that's less people going out and spending money on, you know, buying things from local businesses. They're holding off on all these different investments. Maybe the that addition that the parents were looking on putting on the house, well, now they're not going to build that addition on. That local contractor is not going to get work because they're trying to help pay off their kids' student loans. See, there's that entire ripple effect. Now, coming up on Wednesday, March 4th, there's a big day for Phenom. Can you tell us a little bit about this day?
Yeah, so every year we have Public Higher Education Advocacy Day at the State House. And it's this big event where we bring out, the last 2 years we've had over 600 advocates come out each year. This year we're having a rally on the Boston Common. We haven't done that in a couple of years, so we're really excited to kind of amp the energy up, have speakers on the Common, have a march up to the State House, and then really talk about this. The Public Higher Education Advocacy Day is unique, and it comes out of this summit group that we hold at the State House. And it's a really unique group of people kind of bringing in all of the key stakeholders, representatives from the president's and chancellor's offices, of the administration, unions, community members, legislators who are interested in public higher ed. And how do we come up with kind of the minimum ask for the legislature? And for the past couple of years, it's been a certain increase to public higher ed in return for a student fee freeze. And that's so valuable for students because, you know, and I know, as students of public higher ed, our fees went up every single year.
Absolutely.
And that is a huge cost to students that isn't anticipated when you sign up. You don't know that the cost is going to continue to rise. So it saves families a whole lot of money.
Well, that's the thing too. I mean, when you look at college and the prices, you look and you think it's one amount, or you might see, oh, the tuition is this amount. But then you look and there's basically a fee for every little thing. And it's unbelievable how those fees add up. So I think, you know, asking for student freezes is definitely one way to help keep that cost affordable. And what are some of the other ways that Phenom is, or some of the other ideas that they have as far as keeping education affordable?
So one of the pieces of legislation that was refiled this year that we've worked on is this Finish Line grant. So the idea is we have a lot of students who aren't finishing their degree. They're starting, taking on debt, and then for whatever reason, family issues, cost, whatever, they can't finish. So this bill would give an incentive for students under a certain income level, to get a grant to cover the tuition and fees for a year after their first. So after they've successfully finished a year, so that could be someone trying to get an associate's degree or someone trying to get a bachelor's degree, because we want to help them get to the finish line. It doesn't make sense for them to drop out, be paying student debt without a degree.
Yeah, it's a very tough thing, and I know personally, I've known a few students and individuals that are younger than me, individuals who are in college and have stopped and have been waited to go back, and then you know different things come up, and then they think, well, I'll just take one semester off, save money, and then go back. But how often do they go back?
Right, right. Yeah. It's really tough. And there's with Obama's proposal for free community college, there's a lot of bills that are floating around this session that are really exciting, looking at free 2 years, free community college. It's a conversation that we're really excited about having with the people that we work with. And how should that look in Massachusetts, considering we're a leader in K through 12 public education? Why do we stop at 12th grade? Why doesn't it go on into getting an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree, where everyone knows that's the expectation? In order to be a full player in our economy, you need to have some sort of advanced education.
And it's so important. Now, how is the president coming out and saying the need for this, or kind of putting out that call for proposals for that? How is that, how has that worked in favor for Phenom to all of a sudden bring this local conversation to a national scale?
Yeah, so Phenom has been around for 7 years, and we've been saying we want a free 2 years. We want a free 2 years across the system. We've kind of had these conversations years ago and realized the community colleges are so underfunded, and they have an open enrollment policy, so they can't necessarily, they're not built to absorb such an influx of people. And we also, as a first-generation college student, as a low-income student myself, it's not fair to be tracking those students just into community college. They should have the opportunity to go to a State U or to go to a UMass. So it's been really interesting to be able to use the national proposal from the president to really have that conversation, where people were just like, we're not there yet. Well, we are. The president has proposed it. Like, free college has to happen somehow. We can't keep putting students under all of this debt burden.
And I think one of the interesting things is you look at different countries around the world, where they basically get to go to university, they call it, but they get to go and get that higher education, and it's free in terms of, well, yes, you're paying for it through your taxes and whatnot, but it's going back into the economy. So I look at how other nations around the world have been able to do this, and I wonder, you know, why we can't. And people will think, oh, you know, free college, okay, everyone who works for the higher education system, you know, jobs are going to be cut, jobs are going to be slashed, and that I'm sure that's a fear that you come up against with as an advocacy group, is, you know, oh, they want to take our jobs away. Well, no, that's not the point. But how do we go ahead and do so, and just like other countries have, and, you know, keep that education system from crumbling?
Right. And it's interesting, because we've had that up until the 80s, pretty much across the U.S. It was either extremely low cost or no cost. In big systems like California, I think Massachusetts has strayed away from that because we had great private institutions.
Yeah.
But those private institutions aren't educating Massachusetts residents. They're educating a whole lot of out-of-state residents.
Out-of-state and even out-of-country residents. I mean, you look at the global population that comes over to get our education system, and we can't even have Massachusetts residents there.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 graduates of Mass public higher ed stay in Mass after graduation. That number is nowhere near that for private institutions. And think about that with that debt that we're keeping in the state. We have 980,000 residents in Massachusetts who have over $24 billion in student debt. That's a terrifying number. That's something that we need to address, because we already said it's a drain on our economy.
Absolutely. And that's $24 billion that's getting sent back to federal loans, and that's not staying here locally. It's not getting spent at your mom and dad's, you know, store. It's not getting spent at your local auto supply store. It's not getting spent at your local businesses.
Right.
And it's so important that we figure out a way to keep it here. And I think, you know, other countries have proved that you can do it without the system crumbling. Schools aren't going to close. It's going to continue as business as usual. But I think this is something that we're scared about. And it's almost reflective if you look at the same debate going on with health insurance right now.
Right.
As far as, you know, other countries have been able to do it for free, why can't we offer these same things for free?
And I love the way that the president has framed this in kind of bringing us back to when did we struggle to make high school universal? In the early 1900s, not everyone got a high school education.
No,
and then we decided as a country, you need this to be able to be successful in our country and to have the opportunity that you deserve. So we're going to make sure that you have access to it. That's essentially what we're doing here, again, making sure that that door isn't shut or it doesn't seem too far away for these kids, because there are so many who just don't even think it's an option, don't know how to fill out financial aid, or just terrified of that sticker price.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, too, that FAFSA can be terrifying. But, you know, in the Mount Wachusett, when they were in here early, Mount Wachusett Community College was in here last week. They were saying, you know, there are programs out there that will help you fill out the FAFSA for free. Mm-hmm. And that was so important. You know, as a first generation college student myself, we went and took advantage of one of those programs. And it was, you get that packet and you look at it and you're like, this is very involved. Like, this is terrifying. And you're afraid that if you don't fill it out correctly, you're going to be ineligible for financial aid.
Right.
So those programs are out there. And I think one of the things that's interesting is, even if we can't make it entirely free, what are some of the ways that we can at least reduce the cost to maybe find a compromise between the universities and that call for free public education?
Yeah. So Mass Grant, which is kind of the equivalent of a state Pell Grant, mm-hmm. Which is for the neediest students, the lowest income students, up until 1989, covered 80% of the cost for the lowest income students of tuition and fees together. Now it covers 9%. So our tuition and fees have skyrocketed while we haven't been putting a whole lot of money into financial aid.
Mm-hmm.
This is really frustrating, because normally, even though whatever the cost was, it was covered by financial aid. That's not happening anymore. Students used to be able to, in our parents' generation, work a summer job, save up enough money,
yep.
and go to school full-time without working during the year. Now you have to work a 30-hour-a-week job, plus being in school full-time, to be able to afford going to UMass Amherst.
And that's if you're lucky enough to have a job that pays more than the minimum wage.
Exactly.
If you're looking at a minimum wage job, you're still having to take on a significant amount of student loans. I remember when I was in high school, I worked, you know, 40-hour weeks every summer. Mm-hmm. I had no summer as a high mm-hmm. school student for the most part. And that money, it drained up. It went to books and stuff like that. But, I mean, it literally did not go nearly as far as you would expect it to go.
Yeah, and interesting, you're mentioning books. A lot of our campus chapters that are forming are really interested in the cost of textbooks, because if the cost of tuition and fees have skyrocketed, the cost of textbooks relative to tuition and fees have skyrocketed.
We used to joke in college that going to the textbook store was like you were getting on, it was like almost like extortion. You would go in there, and even for the used book, like the new book might be $300, and then the used book is $250, and you're like, oh great, you know, $250, wow. You know, $50 savings, that's such a big help right there. And then when you go to sell it back, that same book, you might get $30 or $40
right.
back, and then they're going to turn it around and sell it for another $250 again.
So there's this whole movement around open source texts. I've had a lot of professors who have been really passionate about this and have done it for their own classes, but we're mm-hmm. looking at ways, can we do this across the system? Can we bring the community colleges together to come up with a core curriculum for the most popular classes? It's happened in California. It's happened in a lot of other states, so that students aren't paying $1,200 for textbooks. And from the college perspective, what I've heard from some administrators is a lot of their aid goes to covering the cost of the textbooks mm-hmm. for these low-income students. If they could make the textbooks free up front, then that aid can go to transportation, can
yep.
go to childcare, other issues that are keeping students out of college or up from finishing on mm-hmm. time.
Absolutely. And yes, it'll allow the colleges to use it much more effectively. Mm-hmm. And I know colleges, you know, they're not in control of the book prices. That's not
right.
what the universities are in charge of. Right now, we do have to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. We're going to wrap things up with Natalie Higgins, the executive director over at Phenom. I want to find out more where people can find information and all of that good stuff coming up right here on WPKZ AM 1280 and 105.3 FM. So when we left off, we were talking with Natalie Higgins, the executive director over at Phenom, and I tried to write down your what the acronym stands for, but I'm not that quick of a scribe. So one more time, Phenom, what does it stand for?
It's the Public Higher Education Network of Massachusetts. A huge mouthful, but a great acronym.
Great. And you guys are an advocacy group working to make college more affordable
mm-hmm.
for students of all ages
mm-hmm.
in the state of Massachusetts. And coming up on Wednesday, March 4th, it's a very important day for Phenom. Can you tell us one more time for listeners who are just tuning in what is happening on Wednesday, March 4th?
Yeah. So March 4th is Public Higher Education Advocacy Day over the State House in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a day where we bring all of our advocates out to talk to their legislators about why public higher education should be funded and supported and made more accessible and more affordable. And it's a really great opportunity for people who haven't gotten to meet with their legislature or haven't done any kind of advocacy work before to do it, because it's really fun. It's really interesting. You get to talk and tell stories about yourself and why you're passionate about it. And you realize that these people really care about their constituents and what they're interested in. And you see results. We've seen an increase in funding to public higher ed for the last 2 years after more than a decade of cuts. So it's effective. It's working.
And that's excellent. And, you know, and oftentimes education is so often the first thing cut when the budget does need to cut. So to see that increase proves that, you know, Phenom and advocacy groups are doing great work. And the thing is, you have to let your legislators know. If they don't hear from the public, then they don't know any better. Not to say, oh, they're completely, you know, oblivious to the situation. But I mean, if they don't hear directly from you, they don't know how passionate this issue is.
Right. They're hearing about so many other issues, and we want to make sure that this year, particularly heading in with a new governor, and we're not sure what his stance on is on public higher education and how it's going to be funded. We really want to make sure that we're clear that it needs to be funded, it needs to be supported, it needs to be affordable and accessible for all students.
And I think a lot of our listeners out there, especially with students or grandkids that are, you know, going off to college or are college-aided, definitely hear you and feel the same way, that it has become a crisis that is unbelievable. There's so many different TV specials that look at this, different radio specials that cover this issue. And it's a discussion we do need to have, because if you look at just the ratio of even the minimum wage to what college cost was 20, 30 years ago to now, it's unbelievable. If you break down every little segment and look at how much these fees have gone up, how much textbooks have gone up, it's crazy. And so we do need to look at, you know, why are we paying astronomical amounts for the same kinds of courses years ago? Let's be honest. You know, biology, okay, new things are discovered, but really biology is biology. Why are you paying so much more now compared to back then?
Yeah.
And so where can people find more information on
this? Sure. So you can check out our website. It's Phenom, Phenom online.org. You can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, and we also have a blog through our Tumblr, which you can access through our website.
Excellent. So everything can be found. It's phenomonline.org. We'll put that up on our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/WPKZ Radio. Right now, we've got to step aside for a quick look at our 8 o'clock news with Dave Andrews in the WPKZ News Center. Natalie, I want to thank you so much for coming in, and wish you the best of luck coming up on your Higher Education Advocacy Day on Wednesday, March 4th.
Thanks, Travis.
And good to catch up with you.
Yeah,
we'll have to catch
great.
Up again soon. We'll have to have you back. Keep it right here in WPKZ AM 1280 and 105.3 FM.